Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Lord, we are so grateful for the privilege we have while we still have breath in our lungs to make things right with you. Because none of us in this place know when we will breathe our last. And whether it is that we breathe our last and come to be with you, or whether you return and we are caught up in the clouds with you, I pray that that day will not find us unready, but that we will be ready, anticipating that you would return any moment now. And Lord, as we turn to your word, I pray that you will speak to us and that you will challenge us to be your people, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in this city, a nation that is at the forefront of the transformation and the healing of this nation. So we open our hearts to your word. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen, amen, and amen. We're continuing on with our series on Uganda Arise. Everybody say, Uganda Arise. Come on, say it with everything you have, like a prophetic word. Shout, Uganda, arise. And our theme, Uganda, arise, is taken from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 3. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. The Bible says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all peoples. But the Lord shall rise up upon you, O Jerusalem, and his glory shall be seen on you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. This was a word that Isaiah spoke to the nation of Israel. They'd walked away from God. They turned their backs on God. And he was calling the nation back to God. And he declares a promise that is conditional on an action that they needed to take to arise out of hopelessness, to arise out of despair, to arise out of the negativity, the complacency, the defeat that they found themselves in, the desperation. He says to them, get up out of it. Arise. Step into God's purpose for you as a people. And the promise is that as they would arise, in other words, return to God, and get up out of the mess they found themselves in, the deep darkness that they were walking in, when they arise out of it, that the glory of God would then shine on them. And not only would the glory of God shine on them as a people, but the nations would be drawn to their rising. In other words, as they rose up out of the mess they were in and returned to God, and the glory of God began to shine upon them, his favor, his goodness, his kindness, his prosperity, as that began to be worked out in their life again, nations would look at the blessing that rested on them as a people, and the nations would be drawn to the nation of Israel. But by being drawn to the nation of Israel, they would then discover that it's really not a formula for the nation of Israel, but it is the one that they worship. And so nations in turn would bow down their knee to the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they too would not only be saved, but they'll begin to experience the favor of God that was on the nation of Israel. In the very same way, God is calling us as Uganda to arise out of the hopelessness we carry. Because we look into the future and many times we don't even know what the future holds. We look at the chaos and confusion and we wonder. And many times we are working everything out to get out of this nation, to abandon this nation to a future that we believe is not filled with hope. God is saying, arise out of that mindset. Arise out of that hopelessness and despair that you carry in your hearts as Ugandans. Arise, because when we arise and we begin to return to God and we bow down our knee to God as a nation, the glory of God is going to shine on Uganda like never before in Jesus' name. And not only will his light begin to shine on us, not only will the glory of God be seen on this nation, nations will begin to look to Uganda as an example, and they too will bow down their knees to Jesus Christ, and they too will begin to experience his glory. And so it is a prophetic call to every Ugandan to arise. Uganda, arise. And last week we talked about arising from injustice to justice. Today we want to talk about Uganda arising to integrity. Turn to your neighbor, tell him this word is for you. Uganda, arise to integrity. Psalm chapter 15 in your Bibles. Psalm chapter 15 and verse 1 to 2 says, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary, who may live on your holy hill? And the answer is clear. He whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, he who speaks the truth from his heart. The temple, the house of God, was at the center of the life of the nation of Israel. In fact, if you looked at the state of the temple, it told you the spiritual state of the nation. Whenever they abandoned the house of God, and it began to fall apart, it pointed to something deeper in their hearts. That they turned their backs on God. And they counted it a privilege to gather in the temple, to worship God. And so when he begs the question, Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may dwell in your presence? Who may dwell before you in your temple? It was really a question of who can stand before you, O God? And for us on the other end of history, on this side of history, we know it is not so much about the temple because now we are the temple. So wherever we go, we carry with us the presence of God. And so we ask ourselves, Lord, who can stand in your presence? Who may live on your holy hill? And the Bible answers us. The kind of people that will stand in the presence of God, not just in this life, but especially for the life to come, those who will live eternally in his presence, are those people on this side of heaven whose walk was blameless. The people who did what was righteous. The people who spoke truth from their hearts. I want to ask you a question. Are you living a blameless life before God? Are you living a righteous life? Do you speak truth from your heart? You see, integrity is a state of being honest and morally upright before God and before people. A story is told of a pastor who had preached a sermon on a Sunday about integrity. And so on Monday, he was using a taxi. And so he got into the taxi and he paid the taxi fare. And the guy managing the money in the taxi handed him the balance. And it was more than he should have given him. And so the pastor began to think, maybe God is providing for me. God is providing for me. But then he preached a message about integrity. And so he couldn't live with that thought. And so he took the portion that wasn't his and he gave it back to the young man and he said to him, listen, you've given me more than you should have given me. I just want to give this back to you. You made a mistake. A guy looked at him and said, no, it wasn't a mistake. You see, I was at your church yesterday and you preached a message about integrity. And I just wanted to see what you're going to do. You're a man of your word. And then he let him go after that because he had arrived where he was going to go. And that was a test on Monday because we can shout hallelujah on Sunday. But what about Monday? Are we honest? Do we live our lives right before God and before men? Integrity is about firmly adhering to strong biblical principles. It's about being complete. It's about being whole, unimpaired, meaning that you are the same person in secret as you are in public. Integrity means that every part of your life comes together when you line it up on biblical principles. Every piece comes together. You don't say, oh, well, for me, I don't drink or I don't sleep around and then you pay bribes. Every piece comes together. You live according to biblical standards in every area of your life. And so every part of your life is together. Your life is whole. It is one. There is a congruence. There is a coming together. There are no inconsistencies. The picture that comes to my mind when we talk about integrity is a building. Just like the one we're seated in. Every building, in order for people to occupy it and use it, must pass the structural integrity test. Now, I'm no engineer, but some of you are. And you know what to test for. That building must be able to handle the load and the stress that it is going to be exposed to. If it cannot pass that test, it will be declared to be a building that has no integrity. Therefore, it cannot be used. Are you passing the integrity test? Uganda, how are we doing when it comes to the integrity test? Unfortunately, in our beloved nation, we are weighed down by so many stories of dishonesty and corruption. Leaders who make promises they do not keep. It leads to broken trust, poor infrastructure, roads with potholes, leading to accidents and death. We've had stories of buildings collapsing on people because contractors pocketed the money and compromised the materials. You heard of the 13 people that died last year in Makindye. Sickness and death due to fake medicines that have been given out. Economic loss to this nation. Investors run away because of the corruption and the bribery in our nation. Families broken down because of lying, cheating, and stealing. Husbands unfaithful to their wives. Wives unfaithful to their husbands. Lying and conniving behind each other's backs to grab property in families. But the destruction of the destiny of people's lives. There is a generation growing up thinking that corruption is the way to go. That you cannot do business in this nation unless you're corrupt. You cannot become a significant leader in this nation unless you pay your way up the top. There is a whole generation being mentored to think that way. And we are propagating this culture of dishonesty, of corruption, of lying, of cheating, of stealing. Uganda, God isn't pleased when we live that way. And God is calling us to turn our backs on that way of living. It does not attract the favor of God, and it does not attract the blessing of God. Your family won't be blessed. You won't be blessed. Our city won't be blessed. This nation will not be blessed. But when we choose to walk in integrity, the blessing of God cannot be stopped on our lives. In Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 15 to 16, the Bible says, and I'm reading from the NLT, those who are honest and fair, who refuse to profit by fraud, who stay away from bribes, who refuse to listen to those who plot murder, who shut their eyes to all enticement to do wrong, these are the ones who will dwell on high. The rocks of the mountains will be their fortress. Food will be supplied to them, and they will have water in abundance. What a powerful promise. This was to the nation of Israel. Because remember, at the time that Isaiah speaks, it is a time of deep darkness. The people are so far from God. And he's saying, listen, give up your corrupt ways. Because remember in Isaiah 58, when they come before God with fasting and prayer and weeping, and they begin to ask God, why aren't you answering our prayer? Why are we fasting and you're not even moving on our behalf? And he rebukes them and he says, is this what you call fasting? Where there is no justice? And he begins to list for them their issues. You're coming before me with prayer and fasting, conference after conference, overnight after overnight, but there are issues in your house. He rebukes them. And so these were people who were far from God. And Isaiah is painting a picture in order to inspire them to prefer integrity. And he begins to talk about the blessing. He says the rocks of the mountains will be their fortress. Now the mountains were that picture of strength. And they would climb up to the rocks where their enemies couldn't find them. In other words, they would have an advantage on the enemy. See, when you live with integrity, you have an advantage over Satan. When you live with integrity, you have an advantage over the adversary. He has nothing to claim on you. You're gaining ground on the devil when you live with integrity. Uganda will gain ground, will gain influence, will step into a higher level of blessing when we choose to live with integrity. He says food will be supplied to them and they will have water in abundance. He's talking about basic needs. In other words, we will not lack if we choose the road of integrity. Many people think that by conniving, cheating, stealing, and being corrupt, they're actually storing up treasure for themselves. As quickly as that treasure has come, so shall it disappear. We must live with integrity, with truth, with honesty. Integrity leads to generational blessing. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. If we walk in integrity, that blessing will not only rest on us, it will become generational in Jesus' name. And therefore, at a family level, we must be teaching our children how to walk in integrity. Let me ask you here, if you're a parent with a child, are you the best example of integrity? Go and tell them that I am not around. He has sent me to tell you that he is not around. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. And the Bible tells us that the city rejoices when the righteous rule. Kampala and Uganda will be a different place when all its leaders commit to integrity. Your home will be a different place if you commit to integrity. There will be rejoicing in your family. Now, for us to commit to integrity, for us to arise to integrity, we must, number one, resolve to be honest. Write it down, because I promise you, you're going to experience the integrity test. You must resolve. In other words, you must decide. You must set your heart. You must determine in your mind to be honest. Now, the Bible tells us about Samuel at his farewell speech in 1 Samuel chapter 12. This is what he said when he stood before the people. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right. You have not cheated or oppressed us, they replied. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand. Samuel said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. What a powerful testimony. What a powerful testimony. He was an honest man. He was a man of integrity. He had determined and set his heart to live by the highest standards of the Lord. And so in his leadership, no one could point to him and say, here are the things you've done that cause us to believe you're not a man of integrity. They all replied and said, there is nothing. Listen, my brother, my sister, this needs to be our testimony. This needs to be our testimony. Are you an honest person? Are all your finances honest? Are all your relationships honest? Are the words that you say honest? You see, true honesty comes from fearing God. It starts with you knowing that there is one who watches over every detail of my life. That I cannot even afford to exaggerate the details. Because there are some people you have to check what they are saying. Everything sounds larger than life. Maybe you're seated here today, and every time you speak, it's like something is hanging over here. There are some details you need to add soup to. When you're in a business meeting, making a proposal, you overpromise and underdeliver. We have offices spread all across Africa. Are you all across Africa? We have the resources to run four of these projects at the same time. Wait. Is the suit you're wearing yours in this business meeting? Because I've heard of people who are dying to make an impression. They even borrow an iPad to go to a meeting. They speak so well. They get the deal. Then to get the project finished is a battle. Something as simple as, can you deliver 200 of these things? You're like, yeah, absolutely, I can deliver them. When do you want them? But your plan after getting off that phone call is to run and find the 200 things. Then you cannot come up with the 200 things. Then you take off your phone and someone cannot reach you. When you say you're going to pay back that money and you put a date, do you pay back on that date? Wachitiwa, have you paid that person back? The family that you visited and you promised that you're going to marry their daughter. Is she the only one? The one that you put on your status as the love of your life, is he the one? The degree that you hold, are those your real grades? If your coursework was taken through an AI testing machine, would you survive? And we are quick to point at the government, yet there are four other fingers pointing at us. Because we are steeped in a dark culture of lying. And somehow we have accepted that it is okay. I want to say to you, God sees and God knows. Let us, like Samuel, determine to be honest. Let your yes be a yes, and let your no be a no. If you are living right now a life of lying, deception, I hope you hear God's voice saying to you, arise to integrity. Because when you do that, the glory of God will shine upon you, and the glory of God will shine upon us. Secondly, we must resolve to be content. We must determine in our hearts and our minds, we must set our hearts to be content. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. He said, guard yourselves and keep free from all covetousness. In other words, the immoderate desire for wealth, the greedy longing to have more. For a man's life does not consist in and is not derived from possessing overflowing abundance or that which is over and above his needs. This is what Jesus said. Jesus addressed the root cause of dishonesty and corruption. It is greed. When you are greedy, you will do whatever it takes to grab and keep for yourself. You won't think of others. It is simply what you want. And some of us have disguised greed by calling it ambition. I am a go-getter. No, you are greedy. And the Lord is saying our life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions. We must be content. In other words, we must come to that place where we find our satisfaction in God and God alone. If the Lord is not enough for you, nothing will. We live with the pressures of this world. We live in this world. We know what it means to want to climb the ladder, to accomplish great things. We know what it is. But sometimes that becomes the thing we live for. And we don't really live for the Lord. And we don't really pursue the Lord. And we don't find our satisfaction in the Lord being our portion. We don't find satisfaction in knowing that, you know, the Lord is for me. And even if that's all he ever gives me, I am blessed because I have him. And if you do not set your heart to embrace that sort of mindset and attitude and perspective, then the things of this world will take an immoderate grip of your heart, and you will find yourself toiling and toiling and toiling and toiling. And yet in toiling, it is not sinful. But when your focus is those things, you'll be the most empty person. Because we've seen people, they accomplish the whole world, but they're the most depressed. They have all the wealth in the world and they jump off a building because those things were never meant to satisfy us. There's only one who was meant to satisfy us, and his name is Jesus. We must come to the place where we find satisfaction in God as people. As a nation, we must put God first and say, for God and God alone and everything else after. If God is not enough for us as a nation, nothing will. Is the Lord enough for you? Is the Lord enough for you? Have you come to that place where it is God above money, God above power and position and status? I've seen people, you can know when they have money, and you can know when they don't have money. When they have money, they tell you things like, you know what? I just really sense God is just impressing on our hearts to just be generous and to give sacrificially because we must build his kingdom. And when they don't have money, they say things like, man, you guys, you know, you don't really check on us. You know, no one cares about us. And you know what? Anyway, we're just trusting God and we are surviving it out. Then you know he doesn't have money. Because money determines the temperature of his life. What determines the temperature of your life? Is it money? You are happy towards the end of the month and the first week of a new month. And then after that, you're in church every weekend, you're in cell every week and humble. It's sad because some leaders in the nation live that way. Even iron sheets cannot survive them. We must learn to be content. Because if we are not content, we will drag this nation down. We will drag our families down. But when we choose to find our satisfaction in Christ, and we don't live after the things that we are chasing after, there is suddenly no pressure in our lives. No pressure to impress anybody. We simply are living on purpose. We know the season we are in. And whether we have much or we have little, God is enough for us. And we are okay and we are blessed. We must come to that place. Because when you live in that place, then you're not chasing after things and you won't do anything it takes to grab some. But actually, you will live at a place where if it's not yours and if it belongs to somebody else, you actually thank God for what they have. You praise God for your brother's promotion. You praise God for your sister's salary increase. These are the messages where no one says amen. But if we are going to arise to integrity, we must reject and expose corruption. Amen. Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan comes to King David. He has just slept with Bathsheba. She is pregnant with child, and he has murdered her husband to cover it up. Nathan rebuked him. David was confronted with his own sin. Nathan was used by God to expose the corruption of the highest man in the land. I pray that we will not cover up anything in our lives. May the Lord give us the humility to accept our blind spots and begin to address them. Leaders of this nation who are listening to me right now, do not cover up using another batch of policemen at your gate. Do not cover up hiding behind corrupt lawyers. Do not cover up by taking out some people who are trying to raise their voice for the truth. accept the wrong that has been done and deal with it. Because he who conceals his sins shall not prosper. But he who walks in integrity will see the favor of the Lord. We want the favor of God on this nation. And as a leader, your integrity is a blessing for this nation. Every father, every mother, every teacher, lawyer, doctor, every person in business, do things with integrity because it will attract a blessing on this nation. And as we begin to close the service, if we want to rise to integrity, we must turn to Jesus. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus came to the house of Zacchaeus. He had been a thief. As Jesus spent time in his house, Zacchaeus witnessed the love of God, who did not disqualify him, but he came to his house. And he said, you know, I've been taking from the people, but today I'm going to give. And he began to give in multiples back what he had stolen. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Integrity is not a behavior thing. It is a spiritual thing. It's not behavioral modification. It is spiritual transformation. God has got to break the chains of greed off of our hearts as we surrender our hearts to Jesus. And as the Spirit of God does a work in us, teaching us to live a new way, only then shall this nation begin to live with integrity. Allah will not change us. Buddha will not change us. Krishna will not change us. The only one who changes us is Jesus Christ. He's the only hope for this nation. Uganda, if we're going to arise, we have to turn to Jesus and surrender our lives to him. Jesus, we recognize that you're calling us to arise out of dishonesty, lying, and corruption to integrity. I just pray, King Jesus, that you turn our hearts around, that you give us a desire for integrity and a zero tolerance for dishonesty and corruption, starting from our households to the way we do life every day, to the way we lead in this city and this nation. May integrity become our culture, and as we arise, deliver us, O God.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,